Welcome to Streaming Quick Thoughts, where we stream our quick thoughts on trending topics. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast. Now, Dan, bringing up our next discussion of the newest episode of WandaVision. Again, we're trying to keep it about a week or so after the episode airs to give time for audience who have listened and watched to avoid spoilers.
Yes.
Where I really kind of want to start with this one is I want to go back a little bit because at this point, I think we can start seeing a little bit more as to why they are skipping decades and why they are emulating the sitcoms that they are emulating.
Why?
Well, the one that really made me think about it was the 60s episode where they emulated Bewitched, right?
Yeah, that's what they did.
That was one where the sitcom series of Bewitched started off in black and white and the series ended in color, just like that episode did. Mm-hmm. In this case, they start off with the opening credits doing the painting the family portrait, similar to Family Ties, and they use music. I don't know if it was the same music, but very similar music as Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm.
The episode itself really kind of carried a lot of familiarity to Full House in the house style, the kitchen, the way everything was going on. We were in Full House in this one.
Yeah, no, totally. I was like trying to figure out which series they were borrowing from. Like, you know, in every episode, you know, the last one they were borrowing from the Brady Bunch, right? And so this one is definitely 100% Full House.
And it really kind of fits because Full House, again, was a sitcom that we watched a family grow up and move on, which is what we were seeing here. Again, same with Growing Pains, how quickly those kids are growing. It's starting to play out that it kind of sets more so the idea of what you're going to see is starting to tie in a little bit with the sitcom that is playing out.
Yes, exactly. And now it's starting to make sense, right? Like how they're navigating through the decades and all of that. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to jump right into also. There's so much to talk about in this episode that we could literally spend a whole full episode talking about this one, because I think this one is probably a really big milestone in the journey here that we're on. Like, first of all, we now can confirm that what we saw in the last episode of the episode in the 70s when Vision was
dead,
totally a zombie looking dead.
Zombie
that
Vision.
Was actually Vision. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Technically.
They reveal that she broke in to S.W.O.R.D. to steal his body, which, mind you, was in pieces at that point. And I can see why she might have been a little bit unnerved about them having them in pieces to be studied, since they're arguing she's violating his living will, whilst they were the ones taking him apart to study how he was built.
Exactly.
I think they were the violation of his living will, personally.
Yes, exactly. I feel like that it's a combination, I think, of Wanda trying to honor what Vision would have wanted done with his body after he died. But then that quickly turned into, like, just let's build a world together because this is what I'm dealing with. So we were right at the beginning, right, when we talked about all the predictions we made about WandaVision, about her dealing with grief, which is, as we're now learning, is being revealed. However, there's more to it, I find, because there are events or things that are happening in that world that Wanda has no control over, or at least maybe not conscious control over.
Yeah, I mean, as she said, can she really control what people do when they go out to walk all their dogs? Can she control it when they decide to mow their lawns? She can't be controlling everyone in Westview at once.
Exactly. She doesn't have that kind of power. There's also confirmation here that this world was built by radiation that was present at the beginning of the universe.
And not only that, it's reshaping the reality of the area.
Exactly.
If Wanda's power had been created and given to her because Strucker was studying the Reality Stone,
that would make sense.
Maybe she might have the power to do this kind of stuff, but that's not the case.
Right.
She came from the Mind Stone. She can manipulate things that are already there. She can move things with her mind. She can read people's minds, but she can't outright change
manipulate
and alter reality. She cannot take Monica Rambeau's bulletproof vest and turn it into a 70s bulletproof outfit.
Right.
She doesn't have that power.
Yeah, she does not. Or at least that hasn't been entirely revealed that she does have that power, because technically speaking, Wanda is still learning how to control her powers.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't, I think, reached a final stage to what she can actually do with it. It could be that kind of situation, but I'm more leaning towards there's something else at play here that we don't know about. And we are now being led to believe that this is all Wanda. This is a superhero comic book storyline, and superheroes need supervillains, right? So we need to see if there is a supervillain, who it is.
But again, they want you to believe Wanda is the villain here.
Right.
They are setting this up that, you know, with her being able to willfully exit TV Land on her own choice to address them. When she exits, she loses her American sitcom accent and talks in her Sokovian accent again and is in her Scarlet Witch superhero outfit that she's been in for the Avenger movies.
Yeah.
Those are all things that play into just making sure they're telling the audience, yeah, Wanda is in control here. Wanda is causing this, which kind of makes me want to jump to the conversation with Vision when Vision is like highly suspected that she is doing all of this and he wants to know why. Mm-hmm. She tells him, I don't know how any of this began.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she was being sincere or do you think that was just a lie?
I think she was being sincere. My prediction is that Wanda is not someone that would... I think she was manipulated into doing this. And again, that brings it back to Mephisto, because Mephisto is that crafty. And so I'm like just really curious about that. I want it to be Mephisto. Let's just put it out there. I want it to be Mephisto because I think that character, that villain would be such a great villain for Wanda to fight against.
Now, there's another Marvel character that it could maybe be as well that we haven't really touched on.
No, which one?
The Salem Witch Trials in the Marvel Universe had a witch, Agatha, that is said to be the most powerful witch that ever lived. For the full sorcerers of the Marvel Universe, from what we see with Doctor Strange, specifically the first Doctor Strange movie, once the adversaries in that started drawing power from the Dark Universe, they were able to manipulate the real world. So, some people are suggesting that maybe this ancient witch that is a character in Marvel, Agatha, maybe drawing power from a multiverse of power, could be manipulating everything.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, Agatha? Agnes?
Whoa. That's another part of it in this episode, is that we're starting to see Agnes, again, our suspicions from the very beginning of, like, who is this Agnes character and why is this Agnes character being so weird the whole time? Like, showing up at really inconvenient times or convenient times and all of these things, and we're starting to see...
Always was exactly what is needed to carry the sitcom idea forward. She always like she had a understanding of what was going on.
Right, exactly. Especially that whole sequence when she was like, should we just take this from the top? You know, like, she was aware that this was all acting.
Yeah, should we cut and go back and restart the scene? And Vision's like, what is she talking about? Again,
right
on the creepy nature of this too, because this show keeps having those little moments that drive...
This unsettling moment.
This unsettling creepiness.
In every episode, yeah.
And that was certainly another one of them.
Yes, absolutely another. It was weird. It was just so strange. And you're right. I think, again, every episode, there's some kind of unsettling moment. And it's the way they handle that, those moments are brilliant. Now, I think that the interesting bit here is about Vision, right? A Vision being fully aware and conscious. And yet somehow I think that it looked like Wanda had some kind of control over Vision, right, at first.
She does have at least some control in that he doesn't remember any of his life before he entered this weird TV Land world.
Right. You know, going back again to the whole background radiation, another thought I had of that and the world that was created, it's really interesting. And I think another part that was really telling here is that in previous, like 1950s and 60s and 70s, there's a lot of this hand-waving gesture that Wanda does to kind of just magically fix things, right? Mm-hmm. But after she pushed Geraldine slash Monica Rambeau through the walls of her house, how she fixed that was not with just the flicking of her hand, of just waving of her hand and just magically, you know, the world or everything just fixes itself. She fixed it with her powers.
Mm-hmm. And even now you're starting to see her using her more traditional Avenger level powers. Like when she was having that confrontation with Vision and they're both flying up, she was using her, you know, red magic to lift herself up.
Right, exactly. And it's just really interesting, again, that Vision is aware that he is a superpowered being, but also trying to just blend in, right, into this world, into this new reality. And I think that that is such a strange thing that I don't think Wanda would be doing. I think that there is a larger plot at play here. I think that Wanda is actually being held in there. I mean, because for her, that's like the best time ever. I mean, in that reality, they're together.
She's happy.
And they're happy.
She's together.
And they have a family. Yeah.
Now, something that you said you were hoping to see a lot more of, and we are definitely getting it. I think this episode kind of shows how we can expect to see further episodes playing out as opposed to the TV land in real world. And you said you wanted to see more of that.
Yeah.
How are you liking how they're transposing those two elements now?
I think that they're doing a really good job with that. I didn't feel like the transitions from television, WandaVision, to outside with Sword were off. I didn't feel like there was a jerking effect that sometimes you get when you have some of the transitions between an alternate reality and the real world. I think that they've handled those transitions really, really well. And I'm glad that we're at that stage now where we're sort of now starting to see what's Sword and everybody else is doing outside of it, you know, to try to fix the situation.
Yeah, one of the things I think they're kind of leading into with this is that what's happening inside the WandaVision world is starting to become a lot more reactionary to what's happening in the quote real world that Sword is doing. And I kind of feeling we're going to start seeing more of that. We're going to start seeing more of WandaVision being more reactionary to what Sword is doing.
Yeah, and I think that that's the part that I'm trying to figure out how they're going to approach this, right? And I think Monica had an idea of bringing something that was already part of that world or that era instead of bringing something from the modern world. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how they're going to try to fix the situation or address the whole field that's engulfing this entire town, especially when I think they realize that Wanda has really nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I think she has been given control over it, but not full control where she can do whatever, because as she mentioned, she doesn't have that capacity to control 3,000 people and
1,000 people
or 1,000 people. And
which is actually another question that an observation Vision made. There are no other kids in Westview.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I wonder if these kinds of control just don't work on kids. That might be one of the reasons, or the kids are probably asleep or held somewhere, but they're just not part of the reality.
I mean, there's a lot of dark things that come about from kids not being allowed inside this reality, but obviously kids would have lived in the Westview town, so that's kind of dark a little bit.
It's definitely dark. It's weird. Yeah. Now, jumping off from that to this other topic, because I feel like we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about this one, the cameo, the knock on the door at the very end.
Yeah. Our first official introduction of a mutant into the MCU. Her brother, Pietro, back to life. But as Darcy says, she recast Pietro?
Yeah, exactly. And that is the part for me that I think is going to be, like, first of all, we know that's not Wanda that did this. Because if it was Wanda, I mean, maybe you could make an argument that maybe she did this subconsciously, but no, I don't think so.
No, as she said, no matter how much you wish it, you can't bring anyone back from the dead. For me, it was a little bit weird because when he showed up, my thought was, wait, that is her brother, Quicksilver, but that's not Quicksilver. Wait, is that Quicksilver?
Yeah.
No, that is Quicksilver.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, but not her Quicksilver.
Immediately recognized him as Quicksilver, but it was wrong because it wasn't Quicksilver from Age of Ultron. And I was like, just had this brain fart moment of like, what?
Yeah, no, and I think that for me was the biggest shock because I saw, you know, the silver hair, you know, and all of that stuff. And I was like fully expecting Aaron Taylor Johnson to show up again and be like, I'm here, sis. What up? When they panned the camera over and I saw Evan Peters, I was like, what?
Right.
Why? How?
And again, Wanda does not have the power to cross people from different universes into this one.
No, she doesn't.
Someone,
and that's a
or
thing.
Something had sensed her loneliness of not having her brother anymore, couldn't bring back her brother from the dead, so reached across a multiverse to grab Quicksilver from a different universe and put him into this one. She does not have that power.
She does not have that power, which again coincides with Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, because that is what this is
leading into, right? And we have all those rumors of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield returning as Spider-Man, and a lot of people are thinking that they were pulling him up to return him for Spider-Man 3 as kind of a live-action Into the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder, are they actually going to be showing up in Doctor Strange instead? Is that why they're being asked to come back?
Yeah, and exactly. Let's also not forget that Doctor Strange is also going to be a character in Spider-Man 3.
I mean, oh my.
So this is all connected. I mean, this is all connected because it's Marvel. This is the MCU, but still.
This is the episode that is really starting to bend and shape how we are going to be moving forward and how this is going to be impacting the MCU Phase 4.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Which again, still makes me wonder, this was not supposed to be the first one.
No.
Black Widow was supposed to be the first Phase 4 movie.
Exactly.
What are we missing for that tie-in?
Yes. What is that setting up? Because this one is setting up Doctor Strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Doctor Strange is setting up Spider-Man 3.
Yep.
But what does Black Widow set up? What does that set up to? What can we anticipate after that? And that's a really good question. And you're right. I wonder if they had an original plan of this is the sequence of movies and this is how the universe is going to progress, if they changed that because of the pandemic. And now we're going to get to see a different version or different sequence of events, because I mean, we already are seeing them. But I wonder, from the overall storyline of where this is going to end up in a future Avengers movie, I wonder if it's going to end at the exact same place or if it's going to change from what they originally had planned.
And then we try and keep these quick thoughts short, but there's so much to talk about. I just have to ask you.
I know.
Our next decade is going to be the 90s. Do you have any predictions for what sitcom they're going to emulate and why that is important to emulate that sitcom?
Oh, Seinfeld. And I think it's important to emulate it because Seinfeld was a sitcom that was about nothing, you know? And it was a sitcom that was about nothing because it was a sitcom that was there to just sort of make you forget that there was a world out there. It was a way to escape. And I think that that's what they're going to try to go for in the next episode.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Just she's trying to escape the world. And why have a show that reminds you of the stresses of real life when you can just have a sitcom about nothing? That is exactly where Wanda's mindset is right now. That's a good prediction. And our predictions so far have been actually more right than they have been wrong. So
yeah, they have. I'm having so much fun talking about this show.
Well, if you have any predictions, you can always let us know on Facebook at
Streaming Thoughts and on Twitter at
Streaming Geek.
This has been Daniel.
And this has been Nathan. Thank you for listening.